Yes, sir. We back in the building, back on the set. It's the one and only Call Room. Shout out to everybody in the building, liking, subscribing, keeping this alive and this thing, this weird space called YouTube. Shout out to everybody. Yeah, man, YouTube is getting crazy, man. YouTube is real different these days. Different, like it's different, man. So, but shout out to everybody out there. Shout out to everybody in South Africa.
Most definitely,
they holding us down. Shout out to everybody out there in New York, Atlanta. It's a couple of other spots. I got just off the top of my head that I can think of that I see that our show goes to. But definitely South Africa. Shout out to y'all.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, so we back, man. So we are winding up this season of the Call Room. You know, me, Trim, Chuck, Walt, we like to take a break. You know why? Because we have families. You know, we want to spend time with our families, but y'all ain't not gonna realize it because we got shows lined up already. Like this episode probably won't air until December. You know what I'm saying? Maybe in November, December. So we already got episodes stacked up. So that way, when February comes and we come back, we good to go. All right. So shout out to y'all. But anyway, the homie Chuck over there. The homie Trent Walt could be in a minute soon. But today, now, you know, I love when we have guests, man. I love it. I love it, man, because, you know, it's you know, we always kick it with each other, but it's always good to get a fresh face, fresh voice, a servant of the people. You know what I'm saying? Somebody who is passionate about finances. And yes, finances is hip hop, man. You know, anything cool is hip hop. Anything taking care of your family, taking care of your family is hip hop, right? Because it's cool. You know what I'm saying? But you can't take care of your family about the finances. You know what I'm saying? So we have someone in the building that's really passionate about that. He travels all over the world, you know, giving people, you know, just, you know, tips and tricks on how to make their lives better. You know what I'm saying? Especially in this climate today where when you know, the days of cheap rent, you know, like, you know, you can go to places, you can have, you know, you probably, I know in Atlanta, you can go to places where you can get like deals on rent, right? I don't know if y'all remember that, but
that's unheard of nowadays.
You know, now, you know, rent's high, mortgage high, you know, and the money that you used to make, it ain't worth anything anymore. You know what I'm saying?
It's not in this climate.
Right. So today we're gonna get into some things, man, and really find out what a financial advisor really is. I'm really curious. I was asking Trim some questions. He was like, I don't know. Ask Antoine. So we're gonna ask Antoine.
Subscribe for the very latest.
Bye, Daddy.
We got Antoine Campbell in the building, ladies and gentlemen. Campbell in the building. I'm excited, man. How you doing, brother? First and foremost, how you doing, man?
Well, good, man. I'm coming off a high off this weekend. We just had something called a builder school. We have a guest speaker come in, and we'll do presentations, kind of show people what it is about moving money. We also show people about owning their own business and what that looks like, about building distribution and how to navigate with that, because, you know, we all in this rat race, but understanding distribution, the minute you figure that out is the minute that you have a freedom of life and a freedom of money then.
Man, so, hey, freedom is what I'm all about.
Yeah,
that's good to me. We all about.
Hey, listen, some people, here's the thing though. You say that, Trim, but a lot of people are not about freedom. Some people like to be slaves.
That's a fact.
It's a mind game, man. Some people are conditioned to it. So
listen, we can go. Hey, you don't have me go call up Harriet. You know, Harriet Tubman, you know, she'll tell you straight up. All my people didn't want to be free. You know what I'm saying? And it, but that's just what it is, man. But I'm all about, you know, freedom. So we're gonna get into that. But first, I wanna talk about you, Antoine. Where first of all, tell the people where you from, who you are, like anything that you want, you know, wanna tell the people about yourself, man.
I appreciate it. So originally from Detroit. I lived in California, spent a lot of time in California, and then now I've been living in Georgia or Atlanta for like, I say about 20 years. Mm. So I got a little bit of culture, a little bit from all over, from the Midwest to the West Coast and out to the South. My mom's from Jamaica, so I get on my Caribbean side too. So I know about all kinds of flurries of life. So that was one of the perks that I had going into adulthood. And then from there, I was really trying to get up and find my own kind of hustle, if you want to say, like, how can I get the money? Because I was determined I'm going to be a millionaire. Like, I'm claiming it from jump. So I did that. I got into the club promoting industry. Mm. And I'll tell a story about that, about club promoting and all my connections and stuff like
club
that.
Club promoting.
Built up on that. So yeah, I did that, and then I started getting into bartending, started getting into consulting. I became a consultant. I became like a sommelier, and I was trying to find that. And then, you know, bad business happened, and I ended up getting blackballed in the restaurant industry. So I got out of that. Mm. And we got to the military, and then I was trying to find something. But then I just kind of stumbled on. Ironically, it was a song that I actually heard, and it's Nipsey Hussle. I heard a song. In regards, he was like, I got life insurance on me, my mom, my brother, everybody. He was basically saying, I got life insurance on everybody, basically.
Right. He said, I got insurance on my flesh.
Yes, that's what it is. Yes.
I got $1 million insurance. I got $1 million on my flesh. That's what he said.
Yes. That quote right there. They put that on there and they're like, oh, yeah, that's the move right there. And my homeboy had just got into a career. He got an interview with the insurance company. And so he put me onto it. So I kind of got into the industry within the last, like, I'm coming up on 6 years now into the industry. I got into the industry of life insurance itself. Mm-hmm. And life insurance is like kind of like your foundation. But this was for another company. I didn't really know. I just knew that I was going to make a sale and I was going to make some money. Mm. I didn't know what I was getting into. I just knew I was in the industry of financial services and insurance. Then when I met my wife, or by the time my girlfriend, she was like, are you trying to build? She asked me this question. This, I never forget, is our first date. She said, are you just trying to make some money to get by, or are you trying to build a legacy? Mm. I was like, oh, okay, because we about to. I'm building for a legacy. I ain't building for nobody, you know, nothing short. I'm not building for nothing that's going to be, you know, forgotten. I'm trying to, you know, I think we all try to live for our legacy. So I think my kids going to remember me if I say I got $1 million on the books. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like $1 million on the books. Yeah. So my generation can have it. That's the goal. So she put that into me, and ever since then I ain't never looked back. I'm married into a family that has been into the industry about 40 plus years. We own 26 franchises or offices across the southern part. I think we have one in New York, one office in New York, but mostly across the southern part of the states. The company that we franchise from is Primerica. So we handle investments. That's where my kind of home is within the investments portion. We talk about life insurance, we provide other services. We're kind of making it like your one-stop financial shop. So that's where I kind of led to be. My little bit of quick life story led me where I'm at right now.
Oh, this is going to be good, man. It's going to be good. Okay, let me tell you. I'm going to tell you. When he said Detroit, California, and Jamaica, just I already those Detroit, land of the hustlers, California, land of the hustlers, and Jamaicans are hustlers. He's already in the hustling culture, you know what I'm saying? Then when he mentioned Nipsey Hussle, like that's my motivation to hustle, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, but that was a great intro, man. Now listen, I always say the disclaimer when we have guests. Y'all jump in when y'all want to jump in. I always got questions. You know what I'm saying? I always got questions. So the first thing I want to know is go ahead.
You heard all that. I heard International Man of Mystery. but I'm glad you heard all that stuff.
Hey, but, I said it offline, but I said he the Black James. He might be the Black James Bond. We don't know.
Hey, man. But it's all good. One question though, man. I know you're trying to say you're trying to build a legacy. Did you see that as financial planning being that the quickest path to it, or not? Why not choose like other facets like real estate or something like that? Why financial planning?
So that's a funny story. You say that because everybody think, oh, let me go get my real estate license. I'm just gonna hustle that way.
Yeah.
But if you go Google what industry has the most millionaires in it, you'll see insurance or financial services number one, and number two is real estate. So, and this is something also, it's only like 2% black, there's a black population in it. And thinking about it like that, like I really get the opportunity to make a big name. We get the opportunity to make a really big name in the financial world because that's not promoted. You know, we got a lot of real estate moguls. We got people who are doing really well. A lot of black folks that do really well in real estate, but you don't never hear nobody saying, oh yeah, we got a hedge fund, black people that own a hedge fund. You don't hear nothing about that. And that's where you control a lot of things at. You know, we talk about real control. I'm not gonna say we're trying to take over the world.
Right.
But we talking about real control. We talking about really trying to make an influence, an impact for it's we supposed to focus on black folks. I can't say I'm not saying we gonna say can't come in the door or nothing like that, but we focus on that. And we wanna make an impact when it comes to understanding finances, because the question I always ask everybody is, what's your how do you understand money? Like, how do you learn money? Nobody really usually say my mom and my daddy. Right. My mom and my daddy said just save your money. That's all they kept telling me to do. And pay your debt off.
Yeah. Exactly.
And get a 9-to-5.
Mm-hmm. Get a good job. Yeah. Do what you can. Get your benefits. Mm-hmm. Get a good job. Then they tell you, what else? Go get a house. That's your milestone. Mm-hmm.
Cut up your credit cards.
Exactly. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's your financial education as a black person. So you know how we all live that same story of save your money, keep some cash too, keep the cash in the shoebox, hide that under there.
Right.
Exactly. You know what I mean? So don't nobody talk like that. So these conversations happen in other households that we don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every other family.
Facts.
I need you to put insurance on me. I got a mutual fund on you. I got this going on you. And then we're going to circle back and have this meeting in about another 10 years and show this money. Mm-hmm. These conversations don't happen in our household.
Right. So.
Gotcha.
But so I want to make sure, because like, I think when we talk about offline, I think we said financial advisor. Right. So a person, you know, average person looking at that word, they looking like, you know what I mean? It might be a little bit taboo to them.
It
might be, right? I really want to give this, like, break it down. So give us exactly is a financial advisor.
Essentially, what we do is give financial education to folks. None of this information we charge, that's only until we start making moves with it is when we start charging money for it. You know, there's a fee for that. But as a financial advisor, is my best interest for your best interest. I don't do anything until you make sure that you know what you're doing with your money. I'm here to educate you on the products, the opportunities to make more money, to make sure that your safety, even in the worst case scenario, that you are protected as far as money. Make sure that your family is protected as well too. That's not, you know, I'm making sure that your any decisions that you're making seem legitimate. Those are the things that I'm working on. Those are the things that I'm making sure happens as a financial advisor. We just making sure that you got the best options for you to make the best decision with your money.
Like I said, a servant of the people, you know what I'm saying? Because I feel like what you're explaining, you know, you have to have a passion to want to see people do good.
That's a fact.
Yeah. Chuck, jump in whenever you want. I know if you like, you might have, you have anything.
I got a couple questions in the queue. I think, like, at least in my opinion, as far as like financial, when people hear financial planning, it can be daunting because I don't and I have a foundation to play with. So, for somebody who is trying to kind of like start from ground zero, what's like a financial starter kit
for them? Financial starter kit. I like that. I like the way you do it. How you said starter kit. It's a good question. Starter kit is how we started off. I say you got to protect what's yours first. Okay. So it's kind of the same concept when you're going to go buy a car. When you're getting ready to buy a car, what they say you got to have in the state of Georgia, you got to have insurance, right?
Right.
So you got to protect it because the minute you drive off the lot, you got to, if you get into an accident, you got that car got to get paid for.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to have insurance. So same thing goes for your life. We're talking about because you are the money maker. You are the person who's generating the money. You are the person who has the money, who has the assets or the estate. So you put insurance on yourself. You put what you are worth. When I say what you are worth, that looks like everything that you have, liquid, everything that you have in your assets as well too. So you want to protect those, right? So you put insurance on everything that you have. Essentially, you get life insurance. Essentially. Mm-hmm. You get life insurance because if something happens to you, then those things we can take care of as well as your family get taken care of. And the next thing you want to get started on is you want to gauge. We'll do something called a financial needs analysis where we'll do a gauge and show you what total debt looks like. And that also, ironically, is we'll calculate all total debt. That includes death expenses, all kinds of things you want for your kids, like colleges and things like that. Line all that up, get that total big number of debt, and show what that looks like for what a check needs to spew out every month. And so that would look like, let's just say hypothetically, you need a total of 10 grand to go for your family, right? That's your lifestyle, that's how much everything costs. Then we do that, I'll build a package that's designed to be based off your age, and everybody's goals are different. Everybody's lifestyle is a little different. So. Mm-hmm. Say something specific, but you know, let's just say you in your 30s and you want to start building towards something, we might need to go a little bit aggressive to play catch up because the 10 years compound interest is a huge difference in a 10 year span. So from there, I'll build a package basically for you to build a investment account, have like two or three different types of investment accounts, and then from your investment accounts, we'll just do annual check-ins basically, and that's a starter mm-hmm. package.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah. Sounds great. That's a great one. Chuck, you had something else though, right?
Yes, yeah. Okay, so I'm gonna go ahead and just get the elephant out of the room. All right. What's the quickest way to get to this million real quick? I just
wanna know. quickest way to get to this million?
Yeah, just a million real quick, yeah.
There's so many ways, man. There's so many ways.
Keep your soul intact, people.
Please now, that's it. I'm big on that now.
Keep your soul intact.
The quickest way to this $1 million, I'm not going to say that there's a quicker way to get to $1 million because everybody's journey looks different.
Right.
You know, we didn't come on this earth polished and we didn't get it. I don't think none of us was afforded this opportunity to get to where we at right now. We had to learn and go through some trials and tribulations. So, I say for me, the quickest way to make $1 million is to find a service or product that has a lack thereof need in a community and provide a distribution so that it services everybody in a very fastest way possible. That looks like any type of product or any type of service. Because you
Trev about this.
Because if you build yours, like say, for example, like you making shirts, let's just say t-shirts, you selling a clothing brand, right? You only make one shirt, you do a press and you make one shirt, you probably could do about, I don't know, 10 shirts every hour. You only work 8 hours. So that's 10, that's only 80 shirts you make in that day. Imagine if you had a factory that pumped that out, you made 8,000 a day. That's distribution right there. Cause then you got people moving the money and stuff like that. You moving everywhere else. you don't want to be the sole provider. Even if we think of ourselves as entrepreneurs, we want to build distribution. That's the biggest, that's the hardest thing to do, to duplicate yourself. Mm-hmm. So that's the fastest way to make $1 million right there, is develop a distribution properly and find a need for a service. I know life insurance, everybody needs it, because everybody going to die.
Listen, I'm so happy you just said that, because it lets me know that I'm on the right track.
There you go.
I'm on the right track. So shout out. That I literally was just talking to Chim about this 3 days ago. So I already know I'm on the right track. So that man, this is good.
Hold up. One quick question. With all the people that you've talked to, I'm pretty sure you talked to a good amount of people regularly. Have you ever had a difficult conversation where you felt like the person that you were talking to, you weren't able to help them? Like, say if, like, for example, you ever had to talk to somebody like in their, like, their 50s, and they're talking about they want to try to start something up, and they start starting from ground zero.
There's a lot of opportunity. Like, I mean, a lot of situations like that. I mean, in recency, I'll tell you right now, in recency, a young lady, her father just passed away, and we couldn't insure him because he didn't keep his policy paid up. He got life insurance, didn't pay the bill, and he passed away about three months later. He couldn't do nothing about it. We can't honor it. You know, we can't honor that, because, you know, we got to get paid too. Like, you know, we got to make that transaction too. And we're talking about speaking to somebody that's in their 50s and they want to get started, it may be too late. But that looks different for them. They're going to have to navigate a little bit different. My recommendation for somebody that's trying to play and catch up for that's outside of me, what I can do for you. What I'm going to offer you then in that situation is a business opportunity.